Continuing our series, and we're working through the Old Testament as like today where we're trying to do a million things in 60 minutes. We've been doing the whole First Testament in the last, I think, 8 weeks. So we're just about done. Piece of cake. And we continue in our story of the prophets and the call that we have as a continuation of Israel. And we hear the story today of Elijah as he has burnt out and chewed up and let down, and he wonders where God is.
Good morning. I'll welcome everyone on behalf of our deacons of College Avenue Presbyterian Church. But now we'll hear the complicated story of Elijah as he flees from Jezebel. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went on the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, have thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." And this is where Elijah meets God at Horeb. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous of the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." And now we'll jump forward to the New Testament, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. This is the story of one body with many members. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, and each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. So God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Word of the Lord.
We're picking up the story of Elijah, which is well known and yet not one we always read. It is one that points to the mystery of God. Elijah, if you don't know his story, is one of the great prophets, and he has been the main resistance force in his time and place, resisting the government of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. He is persecuted. He is overcome by obstacles. He is surrounded by adversaries, but nevertheless, he persisted. And he gets to this place today where he is burnt up. He is ripped down. He is done. On a certain level, he's giving up. God has used him, and he has not seen what God would do. God seems to be invisible and distant, deaf and mute and passive. And in the midst of his despair, God comes to him and says, get up and eat. And then God comes back, get up and eat some more. And then God comes, and Elijah is challenged. And his world that he thought was upside down is actually turned upside down, because he discovers that where he thought God was not, God is. That God is most often present when God is absent. It is a mystery that we continue to struggle with and face. It's the mystery that the Apostle Paul is talking about with the people in the ancient church in the town of Corinth in Greece. It is a city much like our own Bay Area that is stratified and divided, unified and assembled in diversity. Of culture, of race, of class, of history, of background, of power, of importance, and of insignificance. And to all of those people, Paul says, you make God visible in the world. You together are God's presence in the world. I was thinking of all these things this week, and I thought I'd share four stories with you that are very quick to elucidate, I think, what this mystery is. How is God present when God seems to be absent? I took one of our daughters to get to an orthodontist appointment this week downtown, and there is a church downtown that is for sale or for rent. It is empty. And so I snagged a picture of it. Right here's the sign. Our church is also for rent, but we still use it as a church. This church is no longer being used. And so it probably will make a fabulous new beer garden, knowing downtown, or some really hip restaurant where you can get a hamburger for only $25, or a fabulous medical office. The next day I was here in the church, and we were setting up, and we've done a lot this week, and all of a sudden my dog, who comes to church all the time except on Sundays, started barking, and someone came into the church, and I realized it is a friend of ours. A friend whose dog we often take care of, a friend whose dog is pictured, named George on the right. George became the mascot of our vacation Bible school this summer. And as I was talking with this friend, she said, you know, I've never been inside a church. And she was blown away because her dog knew where the doggy treats are hidden in my office. And she said, I've never met a pastor before. I've only seen that show on TV. And she said, you know the one? And I'm like, no, I don't know the one. I have to look it up right here even. Called Seventh Heaven. That's her only experience with church and pastors. I have seen one episode, and I told her I never have that many good hair days. But she said, it's interesting to meet someone that's so different. Later that day, I was walking down the street with Gus, my dog, and I was walking down to Pete's Coffee to re-energize, and I was following two people, and I wrote this down verbatim, so I got to read it. And I overheard them talking right in front of Cream, the ice cream store down the street. And one of them said, no, the evangelicals, they're the ones who always get mad. Then they leave and they start a new church. And the other person said, oh, okay, now I get it. Then later that night, I was in the church and setting up. And again, the dog started barking. And it was because some people had come in. I got to make sure they're not here before I tell their story. They were visiting and they were brought in by all our banners. And they were talking. And then they learned that it was Julie Morgan Building, which most people who knock on the door are interested. And they were saying things like, I like the signs. When is your centennial celebration? And so I was telling them that the anniversary was yesterday, but our party is today. And they said, well, why aren't you doing it Saturday? And I said, because we do church on Sunday. Well, why aren't you doing it Saturday? Because we do church on Sunday. And we talked some more, and then they asked about the timeline. They told me that they're historians, that they put together museum exhibits. And so we were having this great conversation and talking about the history of Oakland and how remarkable it is for a church that is 100 years old to still be operating as a church. In the same breath, they said, you know, this would make a great restaurant. I'm sure they're not the only ones who think that. And they meant it well. You know, I mean, they weren't saying we should close down. They just reflecting, as most churches are not churches still. And as we continued talking, then they asked me, and I had to write this down too to make sure I got it right. They asked me, so what is the way how you do your spiritual belief? And I thought, I don't know what you're saying to me. And so I said, well, can you say that in a different way? And they said, well, you're Buddhist, right? And I said, no, I'm Christian. We're Christian. This is a Christian church. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Four stories that are kind of crazy, kind of off the cuff. But they are reflections on what the world is like today. 100 years ago, this was farmland, and this church was built to bring a church to the nice farmers that needed something. Today, we are a church when people don't know what a church is. When we are told that we have made the neighborhood go downhill since we brought in all the homeless people and all the crime to Oakland, which I don't think was our fault, but... all the different things that happen. People just have no idea what a church is, what Christianity is, what people would do on a Sunday morning, why you wouldn't go to every soccer game that starts at 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. And we live in a time in which God seems to be absent, just like Elijah thought, just like the people thought in Corinth. And I don't have an answer for that because God is present differently than in the Bible stories. But God is present. And God is present in God's absence through us, through you, through how we love each other, how we love the world, what we do with our time, how we respond. We are not God, but God is made present when we are present with one another. So my question for you, as we worship today, And as we are reflecting on the next 100 years, I can only handle probably the next week, personally. Actually, I'm just aiming till nap time today. Is how is God inviting us to make God present in our city or the cities in which you live today? For people that don't know the God that we know, don't recognize that God, don't speak that language, or might just be thinking that we have a beautiful museum or a beautiful potential beer garden / restaurant. How is God calling us, calling you, to make God visible in the world? Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to invite you to stand as you are able. We're going to respond.